Will the House please come back to order? Before the at ease, we had a pending motion. Representative Brown, would you restate your motion for the body?
Mr. Speaker, it's on the record. The clerk does have it. Mr. Speaker, with fear and trepidation, I ask that I be allowed to withdraw my motion to recess until 8:45.
Without objection, Representative Brown has withdrawn his motion to recess. Thank you, Representative Brown. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number two.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Sorry. Amendment number 16 by Byrne to amendment number 2 to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 180, Judiciary, page 7, line 24, section 1171.080, aggregate weight of live marijuana plants. For purposes of calculating the aggregate weight of a live marijuana plant, the aggregate weight shall be the weight of the marijuana when reduced to its commonly used form.
Move your amendment, Mike.
House, please stand at ease. We are under the call, and without objection, I'd like to move along with some of the debate, and while the missing members have an opportunity to return from the second floor. Representative Byrne.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, in case that wasn't official, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 17 be adopted. Or 16, is it 16? Thank you, I'm sorry.
There is objection, Representative Byrne.
I think we've considered this amendment before, Mr. Speaker, and there was discussions of it at that time. I think we're just adopting it to amendment number 2, and I don't know that it needs any more discussion. Thank you.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The adoption of this amendment to amendment 2 would bring amendment 2 into conformity with the judiciary CS.
Representative Hofford.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, the prior speaker said this would bring amendment number 2 into conformity with the judiciary CS. That was a rather broad statement, I think.
Representative Hofford. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the previous speaker is correct. I meant on this particular issue. It is out of conformity on one or two others, but in terms of the issue of aggregate weight, the two bills would be exactly the same with the adoption of this amendment.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, the issue of aggregate weight as it applies to a strict bill is certainly different than as it applies to a substitute, which is somewhat less strict. And I think while it was a reasonable thing to adopt this as amendment number 1, which has been adopted to the Judiciary Committee substitute, I think it's substantially different when it's just one further watering down of the Judiciary Committee substitute in combination with all the other provisions of amendment number 2 and the amendments to it.
Representative Clarkson.
Can I rise to a point of personal privilege? Am I hearing bells? Is there something in this room that's a
I don't hear anything.
I thought it was getting late, but it is somewhat distracting if it's something that can be eliminated. I don't even know where it is. But.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
I rise to a point of personal privilege, and I have, and under all circumstances, since I'm a good Democrat, I have no problem listening to Donkey Serenade wherever it comes from.
Will the sergeant-at-arms instruct the page to locate the tune? We are under debate on amendment number 16. Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I assume that that the grammatical problems in this non-plagiarized amendment would probably be taken care of the same way they would have in the other similar amendment that was introduced before.
Representative Brown?
Speaker, as long as something is really unambiguous and the clerk or the reviser of statutes agrees that it's unambiguous, it can be taken care of. Of course, we should always try to do as good a job we can remembering what the English language is. But with regard to the merits of the amendment, Mr. Speaker, I support the amendment. I think that it will make amendment number 2, which is now in the nature of a substitute for the Judiciary Committee substitute, a much more viable bill, and I urge passage of the amendment to amendment number 2.
Is there further debate? Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can not only don't hear the bells, I didn't hear the previous speaker. But that's a very good amendment tonight. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to support the amendment as well. I just want to point out to the body that it does not resolve all of the problems that I have, at least I have, on the aggregate weight test, because it does not resolve the problem where a tiny bit of marijuana mixed with something else could result in a felony offense, even though there is a very small amount of marijuana. It does not address that question. It addresses half of the problem. I'm going to support it on that basis and hopefully be able to correct the other half of the problem later.
Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Speaker, I think the prior speaker from Anchorage, or the second prior speaker from Anchorage, certainly is correct that it was a good amendment. However, the application of this amendment to a different bill, and that's what we really have before us, is substantially different than the action this body took in adopting this amendment prior to this. I think we've already adopted the amendment. It's in the proper place in the original bill, and I think regardless of what happens, it's certainly available in that bill. I would urge the members to vote against the amendment in this context.
Is there further debate? The question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 16 to amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Duncan? Representative Duncan, no to yes. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 21 yeas, 19 nays.
Amendment number 16 has been adopted. House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House rescind our action in adopting amendment number 16, I believe it was.
There is objection. Is there debate? Representative Hoffman.
Stand at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease? May we continue?
House, please stand at ease. Order. Before the at ease, we were dealing with a motion to rescind our action in adopting amendment number 16. Is there debate? The question is, shall the House rescind its action in adopting amendment number 16 to amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas, 20 nays.
So the motion to rescind has failed. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
I don't have it on my desk yet, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I'm having number 17 reproduced.
House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next amendment to amendment number 2?
The next amendment is by Representative Anderson and Barnes to amendment number 2, House Bill 180. Delete on page 7, lines 4 through 9, delete lines 4 through 9, insert. 3. Uses or possesses one or more preparations, compounds, mixtures, or substances containing any amount of a Schedule 6A controlled substance. Renumber 5 to 4. Delete lines 14 through 23 of page 7.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Barnes.
We've labored for 2 days over a section in the bill on marijuana. And everybody has had such difficulty coming to grips with the subject that I felt that perhaps the best way to use it to resolve the problem was to make any amount of the substance illegal. So that's exactly what this amendment does. Now, the bill that we had originally, it was a compromise bill. It was the governor's compromise bill. It had had hearings.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
State your point of order, Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, is it appropriate to have the Attorney General's office sitting in the gallery writing amendments?
Representative Randolph, you have knowledge that the Attorney General's office is sitting in the gallery writing amendments?
Yes, sir.
I think it's probably appropriate that the Attorney General's office can write amendments. House stand at ease. Representative Barnes, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative.
Could we just revert to introduction of guests for a brief moment?
Representative Barnes, would you mind yielding?
Not at all, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests. Representative Smith.
Thank you to both the member from Anchorage and you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce, sitting in Gallery B, a former member of this House who's probably quite relieved right now that he's not a member anymore. Nevertheless, I'm sure that many of us in Fairbanks miss the wit and humor with which he entertained us when he was here on the floor. I'd like to introduce Larry Carpenter.
Larry, as a former member of this body, would you care, of this distinguished body, would you care to address us?
Yes.
You have the floor.
Yes.
Thank you.
When I was a member of this august body, I was accused by the constituents of being wishy-washy. I've concluded with due reflection that maybe I was, maybe I wasn't.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
While we're under introduction of guests, I have a couple guests in the gallery I'd like to introduce. I don't believe I introduced my wife, the body, this year yet. Lydia. And a friend of mine from Anchorage and a constituent of many of yours, Steve Kirschbaum.
Representative Cotton, under introductions.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, from the Attorney General's office, Rhonda Butterfield. Mr. Speaker.
Another guest for introduction, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, as a footnote to the introduction to to former Representative Carpenter. He was one of the people that had a very good hand in the excellent work that I think was done when we wrote the Criminal Code in 1978 in the Judiciary Committee and not on the floor.
Representative Barnes, you have the floor under debate on Amendment Number 17.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will proceed. Again, you know, we've had tremendous amount of difficulty in the last couple of days dealing with marijuana on the floor. The aggregate weight section, the number of plants that you can have, it is, you know, really been a very difficult thing for us. And I thought that the best way to take care of this problem is to just simply say that marijuana is illegal. And I'd like to give you some of the reasons why, because again, I would like to say that the 4 ounces was a compromise. And I'd like to just take a moment and some of your time to read some of the reasons why that I believe that this amendment should pass. Mr. Speaker, I have in my hand a report from the Proceedings of the American Medical Association. And it says, it is perhaps ironic that concomitant with emerging therapeutic possibilities for cannabis and its constituents, new evidence has appeared that marijuana is hazardous to the health. On one hand, we are at the threshold of providing symptomatic relief to some patients who suffer extreme nausea from cancer chemotherapy and for whom existing antiemetic agents are ineffective. On the other hand, we face the growing prospects of an appreciable number of marijuana users incurring psychological and physiological impairment. The risk for them and for society is of a nature and magnitude that belies characterization of marijuana as a soft drug. It can be hard on its users, and it inflicts a great deal of harm on them. Now, I'm simply paraphrasing parts of this because I don't want to have to read you all these documents. I'll just read you parts of them. Then it goes on, in July 1980, the House referred to the Council Resolution 3, introduced by the Wisconsin delegation, proposing that, in view of growing evidence of health hazards, the AMA officially declares marijuana to be a dangerous drug. Now, it goes on into the damage to our youth in this country, but I think I'll just take this little book here. It says, Parents, Peers, and Pots. This was distributed by the Ketchikan Families in Action, and it's from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And some of the problems that this document speaks to is heavy users develop tolerance to marijuana. And then it goes over to the active ingredients in marijuana accumulates in the body. It goes on to say that the THC in the marijuana plant has risen considerably today, and that the damage to the body psychologically and physiologically is quite tremendous. They talk about the THC being fat-soluble chemical, and that one marijuana cigarette stays in your system for 30 days. Often when you talk about marijuana, you have the question of alcoholism raised. But one thing that you will find in studying these books, that alcoholism is water-soluble, and it does not stay in your system or in your fat cells. Marijuana does. Says heavy uses of marijuana decreases the level of sex hormones in male and females. And then it goes into depth about the young children and exactly what happens to them if they use marijuana. Marijuana smoking damages lungs and the bronchial tissues. And I'm simply reading you the headings of each one of these because I don't want to bore you with all the details. However, I do have it available to you if any one of you would care to read it. Marijuana has adverse effects on the heart. Marijuana use may reduce the body's immune response to various infections and diseases. THC accumulates in the brain functions. It interferes with the psychomotor functions. Psychological and emotional problems associated with adolescent marijuana use. It's quite a fascinating and interesting little book. It's very well documented. as far as tobacco. And this one is the Marijuana Health Hazards by Nicholas A. Pace, M.D. As far as tobacco, tobacco is not a hallucinogenic drug. Smoking tobacco produces no hallucinogenic effects. Smoking marijuana has, in reality, a hallucinogenic effect on the brain with disproportionates of time, space, and sound. It takes 20 years of heavy tobacco smoking to produce the same type of severe sinus, bronchitis, or other emphysemas that less than 1 year of daily marijuana smoking produces, proving that marijuana smoking is far more irritating to the respiratory tract than tobacco. As far as alcohol is concerned, the concept that marijuana is safer than alcohol is definitely erroneous. A person can have one or two drinks a day for 20 to 30 years and never suffer ill effects from it. Alcohol is water soluble. 1 ounce is completely metabolized and broken down into water and carbon dioxide within 12 hours. Marijuana, on the other hand, is not water soluble. It is fat soluble, and the active ingredients are mind-altering. It accumulates in the same manner as DDT in the tissues of the body, which are fat-laden, including the brains and the sex organs. In animals, experiments with radioactive tag delta THC, the THC was still detected in the brain, liver, lungs, and reproductive organs 2 weeks after a single injection. On the other hand, the psychotic effect of marijuana causes hallucinations in small doses, and in some cases, every time the drug is used. The distortion of time, space, and sound are examples of the mild hallucinations that occur on a mild marijuana high. It goes on and on and on, and I have pages and pages and pages that I'd be glad to share with the members of this body. And I personally have seen among the high schools in this state our young children sat in their seats, not being able to function as human beings, and have their teachers point that out. To go one step further, I have a wire that I'd like to read to you. This wire is one among many, but this particular one I want to share with you. Do not delude or compromise House Bill 180. Hold your ground. Be an advocate for anti-drug legislation. Constituents, especially parents, are behind you in your efforts to eradicate this scourge from our society. Let me tell you about this wire. This particular person is a teacher in one of the high schools in Anchorage. Last year, his son was involved in a murder. His son was involved in a murder just before we adjourned down here, he and three other sons. They robbed a lady and her son and killed them for $600 to purchase drugs. And we stand here on this floor for 2 days and we haggle about how much marijuana we're going to have. Let's talk to the teachers in the schools. Let's talk to the parents of these students. Let's go back and take a look at the lives that have been destroyed. And then in good conscience, vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to talk about a drug. This is a drug that if you ingest more than just a few shavings of it, it results in substantial hallucinations. Any more ingestion, even though the amount that you might ingest might involve no more than the end of your little finger, results in much more serious medical damage. And if you ingest one or two of the entire naturally found vegetable matter forms of the drug, which about the size of maybe twice the largest, about the size of your thumb, it can even result in death as a result of respiratory problems. Mr. Speaker, that drug is nutmeg. And if you'd like a citation on it, I can get it for you. Remember, the book is a book called The Pharmacological Basis of Therapeutics. Mr. Speaker, we can stand up on this floor and say that all kinds of things are dangerous or potentially dangerous or may be dangerous. That's one thing. We can also give people advice as to how they ought to exercise their own judgment with regard to what they should or should not do with regard to those substances. It is a different question, Mr. Speaker, to label certain kinds of conduct as criminal and call into account the tremendous power of the state with regard to the criminal law. The criminal law is no joke and not something to be invoked in a free society easily, not something that you're supposed to flash out in reaction to an emotional situation with regard to it. Mr. Speaker, quite frankly, the people who were involved in much more serious drugs than marijuana, even if we were to believe all of the descriptions quoted by the Judiciary Chairman, which I do not believe all of them, but even if we were to believe all of those descriptions, the people who are involved in drugs that are much more serious than those, even by that description, are people who would just as soon blow you away with a .44 as look at you. They're involved in selling heroin, and they're involved in selling cocaine, they're involved in selling the most serious of the narcotic and some of the most serious and dangerous hallucinogenic drugs, the most expensive ones. Mr. Speaker, we stood on this floor 7 years ago and dealt with this issue. It was a very difficult issue at that time. It still is. But Mr. Speaker, I think that we gave a prioritization to the law enforcement authorities, the state of Alaska, that has had a beneficial effect. Mr. Speaker, up until that time, it was possible for you to get a drug report from the state of Alaska that talked about how many drug busts they had. And it was a kind of an arrest counting thing, and there was no distinction made in many cases with regard to what drugs were involved. And Mr. Speaker, I admit that if I were in the early 70s in Alaska, if I had been a middle-aged police officer with two or three children, I had a choice between what kind of drugs I wanted to enforce, I would just as soon go after some people that wouldn't just as soon point a .44 at me as look at me if I had a wife and kids and a career and a life I wanted to deal with. As a result of our announcing that reprioritization with regard to drug offenses involving a situation where we really have limited enforcement resources, I believe as a result of that we have seen substantial changes in the patterns of enforcing with regard to other drugs, and in more recent years we have actually seen some successful enforcement and some successful prosecution with regard to drugs and the sale of drugs that there's not one person out of 40 on this floor who would not believe is very, very dangerous. Mr. Speaker, this is the kind of thing. It's one thing to say that a drug is dangerous. It's another thing for us to announce a policy decision on the part of the state of Alaska that with regard to all the other things that are involved in drug enforcement and with regard to the full meaning of this, the invocation of the sanction of the criminal law, that we're willing to invoke that sanction to be entirely consistent with the prior speech, even though she may have anticipated some of these arguments. I think to be entirely consistent with the speech, we should also render illegal nutmeg and alcohol.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I rise to agree with Representative Barnes, or Judiciary Committee Chairman, in that I am as opposed to the abusive use of narcotics as anyone I know. And I agree with the statements she made that the use of some of those substances can, in fact, do, and I'm sure does do in most cases where they're abused to an extent that they ought not to be, do very substantial or severe damage. I also agree with the minority leader when he makes the point that there are a great many of these kind of substances running around in society, and there always has been, there always will be, and it's not our place here to be deciding what adult human beings will and will not ingest. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to spend just a couple minutes relating to you an incident which I think very clearly shows how futile our efforts here to stop adults from doing what they will do regardless of what we do here, just how futile it really is. Sometimes a single incident says a lot more than thousands of words, and I think I just relate an incident to you that took place in New York City, 3 years after 1976, 3 years after New York City, New York State, had passed the harshest narcotic laws in the history of this country. And it goes as follows. The scene is a pit, a street corner along 8th Avenue on Harlem. There are more than 600 persons on the corner. A bustling display reminiscent to the floor of the stock exchange. Above the din is heard the shouting of the esoteric names, Malcolm Green, the judge, no money business, no respect. These are brand names of illicit drugs. Through this crowd of busy shoppers comes Sterling Johnson, Jr., New York City's special narcotics prosecutor with police aides. The entrepreneurs and their customers know Sterling Johnson. He's the man. But they continue conducting business. The sellers are openly soliciting motorists, sometimes pushing their wares through the window of the cars to give the driver a closer look. They are aware that the man is walking in the midst, and they just simply don't care. One of them approaches Mr. Johnson. He scowls, "Man, get off the street corner if you ain't here to buy dope," and walks on. This occurrence took place, I said, in 1976, 3 years after New York State had passed the toughest narcotic laws in the country, laws mandating indefinite life sentences, severely restricting plea bargaining, and lifetime parole for drug sellers. If one is wondering how the law had worked, I believe the answer is to be found in that incident. When all the statistics are sifted and all the bills tallied, all the pros and cons considered, rising from the rubble of paperwork is the inescapable truth of that message. Mr. Speaker, after some 2,000 people received indefinite life sentences for selling illicit substances, it is as easy to get narcotics in New York City today and other parts of the state as it was 4 years ago and $141 million ago. The story goes on and on, Mr. Speaker, but I won't bore you with the details. I think the point is that regardless of what we do here, adult Alaska is going to do what they will do. Our choice is whether or not to make tens of thousands of them criminally legal for doing it.
Representative Chuckwack.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know what we have to do to prove to the rest of the members of the body here that marijuana and other narcotics are dangerous. I wholeheartedly agree with the representative, the lady from Anchorage, on the report. Because I have a brother that periodically goes in and out of API. When he was a young man, he was a very promising kid of the family, even more so than I. He's only about 20 years old now, but evidently he's been at that stuff for a number of years. How he did it, I don't know, because I have strict parents, religious family, and in spite of all of that, he managed to sneak marijuana. Finally, I don't know if he finally got into hallucinogenics, but today his brain is almost totally incapacitated. I mean, that to me is enough of a proof that marijuana is dangerous. I've never known him to be a drunkard, or he never seemed to drink. It's just that he had a strange personality developing in him. And because my parents are not familiar with the medical terms or reading English literature, they weren't too sure what was happening until it was too late when somebody else told my parents what happened to him. I understand the supporters on some of these little more liberal laws to try and accommodate the more astute people that have the ability to handle marijuana. We don't have too many problems with people that can handle liquor. But on the other hand, we know of people that have a problem with it. with these few words I've said, I hope you vote your conscience. And I think when it comes right down to it, we're just trying to prevent any further degeneration of mankind and preserve it. Otherwise, maybe in the long term, to some subversive nation, this is a method of taking over our country.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, first off, I'd like to suggest that I, for one, am pleased to see the debate proceed in the manner it is and get on with a serious note. I rise in opposition to the amendment, Mr. Speaker. I think the amendment was primarily offered for the purpose of making a point, and the point relative to prohibition of marijuana. And I think, Mr. Speaker, that there are a couple reasons that I would object to the specific amendment. First off, if in fact it was drafted by representatives from the Attorney General's office, I would be surprised, because it's point number three which would prohibit it, while point number two allows 1 ounce of a controlled substance when not in a public place. So it would seem contradictory on its face, Mr. Speaker. But perhaps more importantly, Mr. Speaker, is the issue that was addressed by the chairman of the Judiciary Committee relative to the necessity of prohibition and relative to offering an amendment to make a point. Mr. Speaker, I think their members can remember, it's been a while ago now, if my memory serves me right, it was on Friday, I distributed on members' desks a resolution which I did not introduce, but which I considered introducing, Mr. Speaker, and I'm not sure if everybody has that. But anyway, that resolution dealt with prohibition of alcohol, Mr. Speaker. A couple of the whereas clauses stated, whereas it's incumbent upon the government to do all it can to protect the people from themselves, including regulating the amount of dangerous substances they possess, whereas the amount of alcohol present in a home should not exceed 1 pint of hard liquor, or 6 12-ounce cans of beer, or 750 milliliters of wine, whereas the typical manner in which a government attempts to control the toxic substances that people may be inclined to administer to themselves is through laws prohibiting the sale, manufacture, distribution, or delivery of the substances, and whereas the lessons of history concerning the wisdom of enacting and enforcing the 18th Amendment to the United States Constitution were not learned well, as evidenced by the fact that the lessons have not been applied to other victimless vices causing the organized crime born of prohibition to prosper, be it resolved that a House Special Committee on Alcohol Abuse and Alcohol Law Revision is established to investigate the problem of alcohol abuse and to propose revisions to the statute pertaining to alcohol. Be it further resolved that the proposed revisions should reflect the prevailing attitude among government policymakers that the people are unable to decide for themselves what is best for themselves, and disregard the established fact that prohibition of vices directly increases the incidence of violent crime and property crimes. And it went on, Mr. Speaker. I think members are aware of that, and I think that it made the point very clearly. Prohibition did not work, Mr. Speaker. It did not work for alcohol. It will not work for marijuana. And it would not work for cigarette smoking. And I think that all of us know that there are certain ways that we can abuse indulgence in all of those vices. Some of us are guilty of that, Mr. Speaker, but I think that it's up to us as individuals to take that responsibility. Mr. Speaker, the members of this body receive this particular newspaper. It's not sent down like everything else is. This is the Northern Sun Polar Star. It's the newspaper printed by the University of Alaska Fairbanks students. In the last copy of that, Mr. Speaker, in the centerfold, they did an interview with the resident advisors at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and relative to what types of problems those people encountered as they monitored the dormitories where all the students at the university stay. They did an interview with each and every one of the RAs, Mr. Speaker, and they asked them what problems that they encountered as people in that position, the people who lived around the students at the university, where this outrageous use of marijuana is supposed to take place on a rampant basis. Mr. Speaker, there's not a single reference in here to drug abuse or drug misuse or marijuana in any way. However, there is, Mr. Speaker, two specific references to alcohol, and I'd just like to read those quotes. One is from Steve McKee of Moorhall, and he says, Steve is careful to balance good and bad points in discussing his job. Moore is a hall that's filled largely with traditional college-age students, many of whom have not yet learned moderation in drinking. 95%, this is a quote, 95% of all my problems as an RA are alcohol-related, he said. Quote, if we could just eliminate drunkenness, unquote. You know, and the only other reference to a specific problem, Mr. Speaker, is by another lady and her family who are RAs in another dorm, and it's the same thing. She says, like Steve McKee, Susan says the major problems in Bartlett are usually alcohol-related. Mr. Speaker, I think the point has been made that prohibition does not work, and I think that we should stop emphasizing measures which are designed to keep drugs, namely specifically marijuana, away from people. We know that prohibition doesn't work. What it does accomplish is to raise prices and thus attract more dangerous, more entrepreneurs to the black market. If the drug is addicting and the price's escalation is carried to outrageous extremes, addicts resort to crime to finance their purchase at a tragic cost. We saw that in the alcohol prohibition era, Mr. Speaker. Additionally, again, I would like to reiterate from the resolution on the Governor's Advisory Committee on Alcohol Abuse. Serious consideration should be given to deleting marijuana from the drug abuse laws. These folks know that it's simply not going to work. And as an additional and final comment is why I would oppose this amendment, Mr. Speaker, the amendment that's before us, particularly relative to if it were pertaining to the Judiciary Bill, HB 180, I would say that it's not necessary, Mr. Speaker, for with the exception of the new aggregate weight definition that deals only with live plants, it could well be determined that alcohol is, or that marijuana is prohibited by that bill anyway. So it's unnecessary and duplicatory.
Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. He's waiting for Representative Clarkson to finish his floor business.
A couple minutes ago, I indicated that
I couldn't
I was
distinguish
ready to go.
Your voice from all the other. Thank you, Representative Clarkson. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, just briefly on this amendment, it's real clear the cat's out of the bag now. For over a year, the advocates of this legislation have been arguing for the marijuana portions of it based on the argument that we need to clarify what the Raven Court said. We need to talk about what a small amount is. We've just spent a day and a half continuing that discussion. It is a difficult discussion. But, Mr. Speaker, those people have been arguing each time we talk about the recriminalization of marijuana in this legislation. They've been saying, oh, no, no, we're not recriminalizing marijuana. We're simply trying to clarify what the Raven Court did. Mr. Speaker, this amendment, submitted by the sponsors that it has, is a significant shift in the position of the advocates of this legislation. The effect, absolutely crystal clear now, is to recriminalize the possession of any amount of marijuana by adults for their own use in the privacy of their own home. This amendment, if successful, would reverse the Raven decision. It would not allow the use of marijuana under any circumstances. And I think it is it's the most ultimate interference with the private affairs of the citizens of this state that I have seen. It would attempt to reverse the Raven decision in its protection, that case, in its protection of the freedoms of the Constitution with regard to what we do with our own bodies and in our own homes. Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, it's also significant in another regard. It's one of the few times that I have ever seen on the floor of this body where the chair of a committee that's produced a committee substitute has proposed amendments to that committee substitute on the floor. We're doing committee work on the floor. In case anybody's doubted that for the last 2 days, it's now absolutely clear.
The House, please stand at ease. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to address the last two speakers, the freshman member from Downtown District 7 and the freshman member from Fairbanks, freshman libertarian member. I want to get that absolutely correct. First of all, to the freshman libertarian member from Fairbanks, I did not introduce this amendment with Representative Anderson to make a point, just to make a point. I introduced it because I was 100% dead serious about it, and I still am. No, I did not introduce it to the Judiciary Committee substitute, because the Judiciary Committee substitute was a compromise bill worked out among the people across the state, and I had intentions to living up to that compromise worked out across the state. But now that we've gotten down to the point of adulterating the bill, I feel that I no longer in good conscience can stand by and watch that happen. I introduced it for many reasons, but the biggest reason is the young people in our state. The young people that will tell you over and over and over again, what's wrong with the use of marijuana? It's legal. The state says it is legal. And Mr. Speaker, when I see these young people of our state dropping out of the schools, ruining their lives, I can do no less than introduce such an amendment. I would like to read just a couple of other things here that I think are very pertinent. I think I will start with this one first. This is another wire to me. Crime Stoppers of Anchorage now has lodged 342 informant calls since September the 14th, 1981. 53 have been solved involving $187,600 of property crimes. $77,600 of property has been recovered. Our statistics indicate that marijuana, cocaine, and other drugs are related to 75% or more of these crimes. As you ponder House Bill 180, the Board of Crime Stoppers recommend that you consider these statistics. Hundreds of Anchorage residents have now contributed money to this program. Their most frequently expressed concern involved drugs and their support for tough legislation. Our board believes a direct relationship exists between all types of crime and marijuana, cocaine, and other drugs. Certainly to the members of this body that read the newspapers after the Judiciary Committee hearing here on this bill, though we did have them all across the state, the people of Ketchikan has turned out in force in support of this legislation. Although they would have rather had it totally decriminalized, the concerned parents of Ketchikan, and we have heard from a number of them, both on the teleconference network and those that came here, they recognize this piece of legislation as a compromise, and they supported it for that reason. A few months ago, the Anchorage Crime Commission was appointed by then Anchorage Mayor George Sullivan. There were some 200 of our citizens that represented all walks of life in the Anchorage community that was appointed to that crime commission. I believe that it was in November or December that they came out with their report. They called for total recriminalization of marijuana. But as a compromise, they supported House Bill 180. When we had our Judiciary Committee hearings here, a representative of the Anchorage Police Department came, and he brought a letter that had been sent to Mr. Brian Porter. And it is from Jerry E. Greeley. He's the general manager of the Anchorage Daily News. It says, "Dear Brian, attached you will find a letter signed by me representing the Anchorage Crime Commission to Ramona Barnes stating our support for the enactment of House Bill 180. We appreciate you carrying our message to them, and if any questions should arise while in Juneau, please call," and then it gives the names and numbers of the people to call. The letter they brought said, "Dear Ms. Barnes, the Anchorage Crime Commission strongly endorses the enactment of House Bill 180. This should provide a clear message that the people of Alaska will no longer tolerate the sale, use, or possession of illicit drugs, including marijuana, with its attendant high crime rate. Substantive drugs, including marijuana, have proven to be the principal motivating factor for crimes against property and a significant factor in the commission of violent crimes. Murder cases in the Anchorage area have been predominantly related to drugs. The current legislation has created a permissive environment for soft drugs throughout the state. Soft drugs more often than not lead to hard drugs. In Anchorage alone, drug-related arrests have been decreasing since its enactment. Only 178 arrests were made in 1980, which showed a steady decline from 367 in 1978. In 1980, 80% or 143 of those arrested were persons 18 years of old or younger. This trend will continue unless the legislature takes strong action to stem the flow of drugs into and within our state. We acknowledge that alcohol contributes to our high crime rate and recognize that measures are being taken for control in that area at a leisurely pace. Substantive drugs, however, have been identified as a more serious contributing factor and must be acted upon now. Any assistance you may provide will be greatly appreciated by all members of the Anchorage Crime Commission. Again, it was a compromise. They did say they wished that marijuana be totally recriminalized, but they compromised in their support of 180. From the Matsu Borough, dear Ms. Barnes, the Matanuska-Susitna Republican Women's Club devoted a portion of its October meeting to a discussion of Senate Bill 190 and Senate Bill 180, also the House versions of them. We want you to know that this club supports 180. It was unanimously agreed that the state needs a strong drug bill, and we hope that your committee will do everything possible to promote its passage undiluted. Jane Browning. Parent Teachers Association. Dear Representative Barnes, the legislature is considering bills to increase penalties for possession, transfer, and sale of illegal drugs. The Parent Teachers Association of Central Junior High School, membership 336, urges you to pass meaningful legislation which would put teeth into penalties against those who would make illegal and harmful drugs available to our children. Current state laws on marijuana is confusing to the general public, and especially to minors. This confusion also hampers law enforcement efforts to prosecute obvious marijuana dealers, much of whose wearer ends up in the hands of high school, junior high, and even grade school kids. Whatever the issues pertaining to adult uses of marijuana and alcohol, a stoned kid doesn't learn and isn't a good influence on his high school peers. We consider it your responsibility to pass laws with enforceable penalties that will make it as difficult as possible for detrimental drugs, including marijuana and alcohol, to be readily available to our children. Since children are your constituents attending Central Junior High School, we want you to be aware of our views. We want these substances out of our schools. Jane Doherty, President, Central Junior High School, PTA. Mr. Speaker, the documents go on from all corners of the state. I think I've made my point. I did not introduce it to make a point that I simply wanted somebody to think that I was not serious about this. I am 100% dead serious. I supported 180 in its original form as a compromise. And when you go to diluting that bill to the point that it now is under the amended substitute, I can't support it. I won't support it. I won't tell the parents of this state that I have no regard for their children. And that's what you're doing. Mr. Speaker, it was brought to my attention that perhaps a mistake was made in the drafting of this particular substitute, or this particular amendment, excuse me. I checked and I found I indeed did leave out a section. I have that now corrected. So with your concurrence, I would like to withdraw that one and give this one out. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Amendment number 17. Hearing none, amendment number 17 was withdrawn. Will the House stand at ease? House, please come back to order. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Next amendment by Anderson and Barnes, amendment number 18. Page 7, lines, delete lines 4 through 9, insert 3, uses or possesses one or more preparations, compounds, mixtures, or substances containing any amount of a Schedule 6A controlled substance, semicolon, read number 524, delete lines 14 through 23 of page 7 and lines 26 through 31 of page 6.
This amendment is being distributed to members of the body. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 18.
There is objection. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I have made the point very clear where I stand on this amendment. It is no joke. I'm deadly serious about it. And if people need things further to help them make up their mind, I also have a letter here from the Northwest Arctic School District. I also have a series that was done on drugs in our community recently in the papers at home, where it shows that marijuana is the gateway drug to other hard drugs. That I will yield the floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the representative sitting to my extreme right mentioned the tough drug law that they had in New York City. Mr. Speaker, the New York City experience shows that it was not a very good experience. Although I'm not prepared, Mr. Speaker, to discuss in detail the substance of the report that came from New York, I would like to call to the members' attention the conclusions of the highest state court in New York regarding the evidence about marijuana. Mr. Speaker, that court, the New York Court of Appeals, said in the 1980 case of People versus Shepherd, they stated that empirical data concerning the vices and virtues of marijuana for general use is far from conclusive. Mr. Speaker, the New York Court then went on to reject claims of Shepherd that the legislature did not have the power to take steps to protect the public health. Mr. Speaker, one of the most influential courts, the New York Court of Appeals, one of the most influential courts in the country, has examined this issue and concluded that it could not deny the legislature there the power to make judgments regarding the public health. Mr. Speaker, the experience in New York, apparently, with their tough law, was not important enough for the most, one of the most influential courts in the state or in the country to even consider what happened with their tough law there. Mr. Speaker, there was an element that was sadly missing in the New York experience that caused it to fail, as was pointed out by the representative from Fairbanks. One of the things that they did not have in New York, they did not have the support from the law enforcement community. They also did not have the support from the prosecution in New York. Without that, it was doomed to failure. In this state, Mr. Speaker, we have the support of law enforcement. We also have the support of the prosecutors, the Attorney General's office, the governor, the executive branch, if you will, of this state. Mr. Speaker, I've spent over half of my life working in law enforcement. I've seen what the illicit use of drugs, illicit sale of drugs, do to people. Mr. Speaker, I have been in contact recently with the Anchorage Police Department. In May, and this is, these cases are directly connected with marijuana. In May 1981, there was a stabbing, the person died. August 1981, there was a shooting, two brothers involved, 22 rifle, one killed. October 1981, there was a shooting in a vehicle, accidental discharge, two brothers involved with a 22 caliber rifle. In December 1981, there was a shooting in Chugiak. It's currently pending trial. There was a person shot six times. Mr. Speaker, in all, in the Anchorage area, there were 19 homicides in 1981.
Only one out of the 19 of these homicides had no drugs or no alcohol involved. Mr. Speaker, I don't know what we have to do in order to convince people here that we should do something about the serious drug situation in our state. I only ask, Mr. Speaker, that you do, or that the membership do, one thing in considering their vote on this matter. Consider very carefully, number one, does it contribute or destroy our society? And secondly, can we or should we condone the use of it? And that really is the question here, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we've finally reached a point in this debate with this amendment here to get to the very heart of our problem with House Bill 180, and that's in dealing with marijuana. Now, in listening to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I can only concur with their arguments in relation with the problems that we have with marijuana and THC. Mr. Speaker, I am agonizing over this. I know what I would like to do, but at the same time, I realize some of the problems we have in relation with some of the drugs and other things of which our American public takes it as part of their way of life. It has been referred here to the 18th Amendment. That's a very interesting amendment in how we got into it. It's prohibition. What did prohibition give us? It gave us organized crime. The United States really didn't have organized crime to the extent we know it today until we allowed organized crime to use a commodity which our government, national and state, forbid, prohibition. The end result was we had outright gang wars over closed markets, and it was this same group that fought the repeal of prohibition, the criminal elements. Now, my concern here, Mr. Speaker, is I'm agonizing from the point of view as I know what I'd like to do. I'm standing right in the middle of the fence, at the same time agonizing because I have to be an acrobatic to try to keep my ear to the public. We've tried to cop out by coming up with a referendum in relation to marijuana laws. But this actually frightens me, Mr. Speaker. Should we get to the point where we repeal or come right out and outlaw marijuana, what we are going to do is bankroll the criminal elements who will definitely use this, as mentioned here, as a gateway drug to get into other areas. Because under prohibition, they used the money. They bought everything from hotels to restaurants, gambling casinos. From there, they got into prostitution. And that's where you got organized crime under prohibition. I'm afraid the same thing will happen right now. There's not the money in it right now. All we have to do is look at cocaine in the state of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, in my district, I have people dying of cocaine. They have very interesting symptoms in their death. It's usually a hunk of lead ranging from a .22 caliber to a .44 caliber. This basically boils down to a gang war over a commodity that people are willing to pay a heck of a lot of money for. And what we may have here is the same darn thing, and this frightens me more than it does allowing the individual in the privacy of his home to be able to grow this. Then there is no money in it. There's no real major market. So I am agonizing, Mr. Speaker. I will have to think about this hard before I push those buttons.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm pleased at least that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee took some of my suggestions relative to the fact that that there were some inconsistencies if changes weren't made. I would also submit that still is the case. The amendment before us, and I would oppose it, of course, but the amendment before us also makes it so that there's really not much need for number two at the top of page 7, lines 1 through 3, whereby we intimate that if a person is possessing any amount of Schedule 6A controlled substance outside of his immediate control while operating a propelled vehicle, that it might be all right in the very next section as per this amendment. Number three, we prohibit that. In addition, of course, it would require a renumbering of the amendment because we've now made several deletions. But I think that the clerk could make those particular changes. Mr. Speaker, I think that we have been hearing and will undoubtedly hear a great variety of statistics relative to what marijuana does or does not do. Several of the previous speakers, even though the amendment deals only with marijuana, have strayed from that and have given testimony that was relative to drugs of different proportions. Mr. Speaker, I would like to read a few quotes from the or comments from the summary of testimony at Anchorage public hearings relative to the House Task Force on Violent Crimes. It's compiled on March 20, 1981. From Superior Court Judge Victor Carlson, other than robbery, every sentence in the last 5 years involved people who were under the influence of alcohol when they committed violent crime. From Anchorage Police Chief Brian Porter, he says 80% of violent crime arrests are alcohol related. You know, some would have you believe that it's alcohol or drug abuse related. Mr. Speaker, the police chief said alcohol related. You know, on all of our desks, Mr. Speaker, we've got this latest report of the Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. If the members have not taken time to read it, I think that it's very important that they do so. Very important that they do so, and they'll find that almost all the statistics that we have that are worthy relate specific to crimes that deal with alcohol abuse. Anchorage District Attorney Larry Weeks, alcohol is the biggest single factor in violent crimes in Anchorage. The acting public defender, Dana Fabe, agrees that the majority of violent crimes in Anchorage are alcohol related. Mr. Speaker, I think that we're undoubtedly bound to hear and going to continue to hear conflicting testimony about what marijuana does or does not do. But I think that it's really obvious that some people feel that marijuana should be prohibited, and I'm pleased to find out that is in fact their position. I think that it's very tragic, and I would urge members to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Chuck Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am distressed. We're trying to mix apples and oranges on this matter we're talking about. How short our memory is sometimes, and forget so quickly. I don't know if many of you members here in the House floor served over in Vietnam during the war or conflict. I was over there flying helicopters and doing a lot of medevac. The scariest part of my time over there was not those Vietnamese people. It was our own American boys. Even though as an officer with a little bit of authority and rank, I had to be very careful in how I dealt with those boys, the specialists, the privates, the sergeants. I had to carry a weapon under my arm 24 hours a day and sleep with a machine gun in my hooch right alongside my bed. Any slightest noise I hear, I would fire at it. Fortunately, most of them were rats scurrying around in my room. Fraggings. We were subjected to fraggings by a bunch of boys running high on dope or marijuana. And if you remember, after the war was over with, the biggest problem was trying to rehabilitate our boys that came back from Vietnam that was related with the drug situation. By now, things have been sort of forgotten. But it only took a short period of time to devastate the minds of many young people. I'm sure we have some people down here in the streets that are mentally incapacitated or however you say it. Mr. Speaker, I don't know what I have to do to convince. I suppose I can say, well, let's take the lesser evil of the two. And maybe by this process, recriminalizing, it'll slow down the deteriorating process here in America. I realize that we will never be able to wipe it out completely, as one member or some members indicated earlier. But I would suggest, why not just slow the process down of human degeneration while we can do it? Thank you.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I was not going to rise to this, but I think perhaps I shall. I think all of you are aware of the fact that I've taught school for many years. I would like for every member of this body to come to a high school classroom, and a particularly fourth hour, which is the first hour after the lunch hour, and sit there and attempt to teach American government, debate, speech, serious subjects to a classroom of students where three or four, maybe five, maybe more, are stoned out of their mind, completely unable to function because of the fact that there is a great deal of marijuana on the school grounds. Aside from that, people have been giving incidents, Mr. Speaker, and I would like to relate a couple of incidents that happened in Valdez over a period of 4 years. I think probably all of you read in the paper several years ago where a carload of students drove over the dock in Valdez, which had a 24-inch bumper on it, flew through the air, landed in about 80 feet of water. None of them survived. Those students had been smoking marijuana. I personally know of that. 3 years later, almost to the day, another car went straight down that street and did exactly the same thing. We considered all kinds of things. We considered bumps in the road to slow them down. We considered gates. We considered everything. But when it came basically down to it, what caused those accidents and that destruction of young life that potentially could sit where we're sitting today was the use of marijuana. And I heartily support this amendment.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize you've allowed a wide latitude of debate on this amendment, since this amendment has nothing whatsoever to do with possession or use of marijuana by children. But, Mr. Speaker, this 18th Amendment is a prohibition amendment that would make it illegal for adults to use or possess marijuana. Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to bore you with all the letters from people who feel that adults shouldn't be made criminals for using marijuana. Mr. Speaker, the earlier speakers have said this bill represents a compromise. Mr. Speaker, this bill does represent a compromise between police officers and prosecutors, but it doesn't represent a compromise between them and anyone else. Mr. Speaker, this amendment would criminalize on the order of one-third of the adult population of Alaska. We don't have enough jail cells, and we couldn't build enough jail cells because the people who would be building them would be in jail themselves for possession of marijuana. Mr. Speaker, this violates Alaska's Constitution on the right to privacy. I'd urge people to vote no on the amendment. Mr. Speaker, one other item I'd like to bring up is it was a survey done among adults and high school students. There are two surveys, one done in the state of Oregon, another one in the state of Maine. For those who were not smoking marijuana, the question was, Why don't you smoke marijuana? Mr. Speaker, among adults, 82% said because they're not interested. 1% said because it's not available. 9% said because of the health dangers. 4% said fear of arrest or prosecution. 4%, Mr. Speaker, one out of every 20 who don't smoke marijuana because they're afraid of arrest or prosecution. Among high school students, 80% of those who don't smoke because they're not interested. Less than 1% who do not use marijuana uses their reason, the fear of arrest or prosecution. Mr. Speaker, the question of arrest or prosecution is not the motivating factor for either adults or minors who use marijuana.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I very strongly supported the compromise and continue to support the original compromise that was in House Bill 180. And I think that there's some pretty important things in that compromise. I've got friends and neighbors that are on both sides of this issue. And I think that compromise did have some balance between individual freedom and legitimate and constitutional concern for public health and safety. I think I've worked hard on a technical amendment that certainly was opposed by some of the original sponsors of the bill to try and correct that and maintain that balance. But I think what we've really got is we're dealing with possession and how it relates to the supply. The possession of the drug by one class of users makes it more available to all classes of users. That other class of users is my kids, it's other people's kids, it's children. And the availability of the drug directly relates to how that is available to that class of users that we're the most concerned with. And just to add one more thing, I think the arguments about organized crime and the 18th Amendment to the United States Constitution are probably far gone by. I think organized crime is here. It's here in marijuana. It's here in cocaine. It's here in other drugs. And I'm afraid they have adequate sources of revenue to probably continue to be here. Some of the other enforcement provisions in this bill will help in that area as well as in dealing with marijuana. I intend to support this amendment in this place. I would not have supported it to the original compromise.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the Libertarian member from Fairbanks that sits to my left, I mentioned a little bit earlier that there was a lot of testimony received concerning alcohol and its relationship to crime. Well, Mr. Speaker, the thing that he did not mention was that while there was a certain amount of that testimony was also encouraged because the task force that was looking into those problems was encouraging that kind of testimony. We wanted to find out what the relationship was to crime and alcohol. The other thing I think that he failed to mention is that alcohol is easily detectable. Drugs in the human body or in a person who is committing offenses is not detectable. Law enforcement agencies also do not capture the statistics in the same way that they do with alcohol. They do not capture statistics that will tell us just how many offenses are being committed by persons who are either using or dispensing drugs. One other thing, Mr. Chairman, the Judiciary Committee in the hearings that we held around the state when we went to Palmer, we heard testimony from a group of people up there who are heavily involved in growing marijuana, and one of the witnesses stated, and many other people agreed with him, that the reason they came to the state of Alaska was because here in Alaska we have the most liberal drug laws in the whole United States, and that's why they're here. Mr. Speaker, I submit that these people are not good additions to our population up here. We hear from another member here that we had, because of prohibition, there was all sorts of violent crime and organized crime and this sort of thing. Well, Mr. Speaker, I don't know what good we're going to accomplish by allowing the free flowing of drugs in this state of ours. I think we have to put a stop to it. I think this is a very reasonable amendment. And I also want to direct your attention just momentarily to the testimony that was given by the representative from Bristol Bay. He told about his experiences in Vietnam. I believe, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, I would suppose that the marijuana that he is speaking of there was free marijuana, much like many of the people here are advocating. Thank you.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Herbert, you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to just make my myself known on this. I support this amendment. I can remember here in Alaska, out in the Tules where I live, that I was out there quite a while before we decriminalized marijuana. I never did see any marijuana out there at that time. I know there was some running around because you hear people talking about it, but after that decriminalization law passed, it was all over. I mean, openly. It was just in the villages, people were passing reefers around. It was just, it was decriminalized. They thought the state had advocated it, and I completely disagree with that. I hear an awful lot of people now as you travel around that area, saying how they just completely disagree with ever decriminalizing marijuana. And I just noticed in the Juneau Empire tonight, there's an editorial that just goes right into the very thing that we're voting on now. It's how much is too much. And I'd like to read, it goes on about how we've been grappling with the problem of how much is too much. Is it 3 ounces, 2 brownies, 3 bushels, and so forth and so on. And there's just no way to do it. And they said, if the legislature is going to make a substance illegal, it should make it illegal, period. That way there will be no misunderstanding about how many marijuana brownies are too much or which marijuana is ready to use. It would all be illegal, and it should be. And that's the way I feel about it, too. Thank you.
Is there further debate? The question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 18 to Amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative O'Connell? Representative O'Connell, yes, no. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment number 18 to amendment number 2 has failed. Does a clerk have other amendments to amendment number 2 on her desk?
I have no more amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
This is this brings us to the question of amendment number 2. Is there debate on amendment number 2? House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next amendment to amendment number 2?
Next amendment is amendment number 19 by Martin. Page 7, line 23. Insert a new section after line 23 on page 7. Section 1171090, marijuana cultivation for personal use. Notwithstanding any other provisions of this chapter, up to one marijuana plant may be possessed in a household by a person or persons other than a minor child.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've deliberated for many hours on this. What point, at what time are we going to allow marijuana? And I feel the question should be answered now. Will we even allow one plant?
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 19 to amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 9 yeas, 31 nays.
Amendment number 19 has failed to be adopted. Representative Martin.
Speaker, I'd like to move that we rescind our action failing to adopt amendment number 19 to amendment 2.
There is objection. Are you ready for the question? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. I think it is proper perhaps to
discuss the amendment, the proposed amendment under the rescinding motion. And it reads up to one marijuana plant. Now, does that mean that one plant or less? And how can you have a plant, which is a biological organism, have less than that growing at least? Is that just a matter of the style that was copied from the previous amendments?
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, it's in the eyes of the beholder.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt Amendment number 19 to Amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 8 yeas, 32 nays.
The motion to rescind has failed, which brings us back to amendment number 2. Is there debate on amendment number 2? Representative Barnes? Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, I really feel, because the very seriousness of this problem that we have before us, that we really should give the members of this body one more chance to vote on amendment number 18. And in that regard, I move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 18.
There is objection. Is there debate? Representative Barnes, you wish the floor?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker, again, I would ask that the members of this body really give serious consideration to the discussion that they heard on amendment number 18 tonight. Consider rescinding their action and adopt amendment number 18.
Is there further debate? The question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number 18 to amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Meekins.
Yes to no.
Representative Meekins from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 21 nays.
The motion to rescind has failed, which brings us back to amendment number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 180. Is there a debate on amendment number 2? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know that we have been here a long time. And that the hour is growing late. However, before we vote on this amendment, I would like all the members of this body to give serious consideration to what they're doing. When I proposed amendment number 18, I did not do it in jest. I did it because I feel very, very strongly that the Judiciary Committee substitute was not a bill that was just endorsed by police officers in the district attorney's office. It was a bill that was endorsed by concerned parents and concerned citizens around the state of Alaska. It was not something that they took lightly, nor something that I take lightly now. Again, I would ask for the defeat of the amendment to the House Judiciary Committee substitute.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I urge the membership here to consider very closely the importance of Amendment Number 2. I'd like to call to their attention some of the things that have happened during the day here and yesterday. First of all, Amendment Number 2 deletes the word mature from the term mature stocks in one place in the bill, but yet in another it leaves that language in, and I think that's just an error. It's probably not very important, but it could have an effect on thousands of people, either an error or just sloppy work, I don't know which. Also, Mr. Speaker, the adoption of Amendment 2 is simply going to mean a lot more in the forfeiture section, that is. It's going to mean a lot more paperwork. More money is going to have to be expended by the citizens of our state to pay defense lawyers. Again, I suppose this is just an error and was not intended this way. Either that or it's sloppy work. Mr. Speaker, also, there's a section in Amendment Number 2 that talks about the constitutional right to privacy. You know, we have all of these constitutional rights, and it's unnecessary, and I don't think that's sloppy work or an error. It's just plain unnecessary. Also, Mr. Speaker, there's language in here that talks about the Department of Health and Social Services and the use of that facility by judges in dealing with the people that come to their attention. Mr. Speaker, not all of the treatment programs available in the state are under the auspices of the Department of Health and Social Services, and yet the language in the Amendment Number 2 requires that the people be sent to Department of Health and Social Services. That means that other treatment programs in the state of Alaska could not be used, I guess, by the courts, and I suppose that's another oversight or else sloppy work. Also, Mr. Speaker, Amendment Number 9 to Amendment Number 2 provides that people convicted of a felony offense, primarily dealers, can get treatment without requirement that they be drug abusers. Now, I don't know what we're going to treat dealers if they're not an abuser, why we're going to treat those people and use up space in the treatment centers and treatment programs by people that don't need treatment. Again, I suppose that's just an oversight or an error or sloppy work. Also, Mr. Speaker, I don't know who it is that determines who is a drug abuser when Amendment Number 2 talks about treatment. Amendment Number 2 simply doesn't articulate that, and also it doesn't state when is this person a drug abuser? When is he a drug abuser, and when should he receive this treatment? It doesn't talk about that. Again, perhaps an oversight. There was an error, and I guess there was an attempt to correct this, and this is in the bill where it talks about the delivery of an amount of marijuana, of a certain amount of marijuana is a Class A misdemeanor. Any amount of marijuana, I should say, is a Class A misdemeanor. And this could be up to, I suppose, 100 pounds, 500 pounds, or 10,000 pounds. This would be a Class A misdemeanor. Yet, Mr. Speaker, possession of 1 pound or more of marijuana is a Class C felony. Now, that error, I guess, was probably corrected, but it was, in fact, an error. Or it was sloppy work again. We're about to vote on an amendment here, Mr. Speaker, that, you know, is just full of errors and full of sloppy work, and there's all kinds of problems with it, and we're about to vote this into law, I guess, and it's going to govern the people of this state. This is the problem with doing the kind of work that the loyal opposition here has been trying to do, and that's construct law right here on the floor of this House. The main bill has been around for a long time. You know, we've testified to that a number of times. It's a good bill. Amendment Number 2 is not good. It's evidenced by the fact that we have all of these mistakes and errors, and I urge the membership here to vote it down.
Representative Hofford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just going back to one of the amendments adopted to Amendment Number 2, it's the one that basically says manufactures, delivers, or possesses with the intent to manufacture, deliver one or more preparations, compounds, or substances with an aggregate weight of less than 1 ounce. It comes back down to 1 ounce, and then it requires for any kind of prosecution remuneration. What that says is less than 1 ounce with no remuneration, and that's proven remuneration or payment for it, is not a crime in any way that I can understand. with the exception possibly of federal law. So we're telling the people of the state of Alaska that they can do something that I still believe is probably contrary to federal law, but and we're also dealing with something that can have a substantial value. If they're dealing with the highest grade of marijuana, which I guess is Sensimilla or however you pronounce it, that 1 ounce can be worth $250. I think that's a very substantial change in the law, and I think you know, if we're looking at trying to go back to our constituents and saying we're getting tough on drugs at all, this ain't the amendment.
Representative Chuckwack.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry I have to be persistent here, but on the other hand, I'm not sorry. Let's expound a little bit upon marijuana again here. I'm sure we're all aware why people smoke marijuana. Simply just to escape and get a short-term relief from the reality of life. It makes a person feel pretty good to be up here somewhere or to feel that they're up there somewhere. But the reality of it also can be devastating. When we run into hard times, our inclination is to try and escape from that problem. But the side effects of when somebody runs away from the reality, it also generates more problems. We've introduced all kinds of legislation almost to the point where the state of Alaska has to raise the children of parents. We have all kinds of social programs. It is very unfortunate that we have to try and attempt to legislate human behavior. I recognize that we don't have any control over human nature. And by passing the amendment, we will further promote the desecration of man. And in long-term effects, we will have to pump more money into trying to rehabilitate the state of Alaska. We'll have to try and create jobs for people. How long are we going to continue on with this? The incentive has been taken away, unfortunately.